listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program on another Saturday afternoon, and we greet and welcome you no matter where you are. If you're at home listening to the radio, you're out in the car listening to the radio, if you're on the computer someplace, we just welcome you and greet you to this program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And my beautiful wife is sitting across the desk from me. We co-pastor this church here in Stuart, and we have for 22 plus years. And God gave us the name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
So we welcome you. We greet you. We're honored to be here with you again this Saturday. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We've got a couple of announcements we'll make up front, and we're going to continue to talk about counting the Omer. Today is the 35th day of counting the Omer, so we only got 15 more days to go, right, Pastor Donna? And we'll be out to that 50th day. So my wife's got some things she'd probably like to mention here as we open up here. And you take over here, Pastor Donna. I'm just saying, you're smiling at you in Jesus' name.
We're smiling at each other, amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here, and it's good to be on WCNO Radio. And, you know, this broadcast, Lord, you can listen to it again if you happen to miss it and you're driving down the highway and it's your first time to listen. Well, we just bless you, and we just know that you're going to be blessed by the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the Holy Word of God, God's Word. So I want to mention that we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island.
Hallelujah. We greet you in the love of the Lord.
Yeah. Yes, sometime today we'll give you a call. So anyways, we just bless you, and we thank the Lord for what God is doing on Andros Island and other places. You know, many places God is really moving in by His power and His might. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I want to mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. The name of our fellowship is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we are in Stuart, Florida, right on Canner Highway in the Monterey Plaza. So if you'd like to come and visit us, I want to tell you we have services on Sunday at Meeting We Meet With God on Sunday at 10 a.m. And we also meet on Friday at 7 p.m. That's our Shabbat. And that we have communion that day and night. And we, seeking the presence of the Lord. And then we also on Saturday, we meet at 4 o'clock, and we have a video, and we have a little dinner.
Got a good one this week.
Amen. And we close out the Shabbat prayer in the evening with the Haggadah prayers. Mm-hmm. So that's a wonderful blessing. I want to mention, wish everyone happy Mother's Day. This Sunday is Mother's
Day. That's right. Tomorrow will be Mother's
Amen.
Day. Yeah.
Mother's Day. And mm-hmm. So we're going to be celebrating Mother's Day on Sunday, and also having birthday for all those birthday people in April and May. And also I want to mention that we will be on the 17th, our dear brother, Prophet Apostle Gary Brooks, went home to be with the Lord.
A few weeks ago, yes.
Yes, a few weeks ago. And we will be having a celebration Sunday, May the 17th, and for him.
A memorial,
and we are... want to bless his wife, Lynn, and and help her out financially. And also we're going to just remember him and honor him that day.
What a man of God, boy.
Prophet Gary Brooks. And then on the following, the 24th of this month is on a Sunday. That's Pentecost.
Whoa.
Uh-huh, Pentecost
we're
Sunday.
We're going to talk about that today.
That's our 50th day, counting the Omer up to 50.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. Pentecost means 50. And that's when the Holy Ghost fell. Well, we have a special guest coming in. His name is Bob Koo. And you can look that up on the internet.
And, K-O-O, right?
K-O-O. Mm-hmm. Bob Koo. Bob and Patricia Koo will be with us. He moves in signs and wonders and miracles. Do you believe in healing? Do you believe in God's power to heal, save, and deliver? Well, Bob has ministered in many, many countries, demonstrating the power of God.
Thank you, Lord.
His wife, Patricia, or Trish, is an intercessor and gifted in the prophetic. Together, they are a powerful team. So they will be with us on Sunday, May 24th. So that's pretty much the calendar. So I want to give you our phone number here. And also, you can listen to us on the internet. That would be WCNO.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go to Saturdays, and you would look for Pastor Gene Hilton. And there are many different programs that you can go back and listen to. So our phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to mention one thing here up front. We have our Bible school on a Saturday at 4 o'clock, and mm-hmm. we've been showing some DVDs, and it's always all about God. I got a new DVD this week that was done this year already. You've all heard of Jonathan Cahn and his book with a Harbinger and,
yes.
and the Mystery of the Shemitah. Well, he's got a new one out here now. It's called The Mystery of the Shemitah Unlocked. He's showing a lot more things in this.
Awesome.
And it's incredible. It's really good. And he's got a note on the back. He says, "The Mystery of the Shemitah Unlocked will amaze, stun, forewarn, and prepare you for what it lies ahead, and it may just change your life." So
Amen.
Come at 4 o'clock, and we're gonna play that, and you can see it, and you'll learn something about what's ahead and all the things that we know that's going on in our country and all. And Jonathan Cahn's really in tune with all that. So we're doing that today at 4 o'clock if you want to come. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Praise God.
As we mentioned, today's the 35th day of counting the Omer. So we've talked about a lot of things over the last couple of weeks and all that, but I want to touch on some things, and then we're going to move into the New Testament as well. I want to take you over to Exodus chapter 19. We mentioned this last week, and I'm not going to go through this whole chapter again, but I just want to show you what happened here, and then we're going to see what God did with all this to show us. All right, if we go to Exodus chapter 19, we mentioned this last week, the very first verse tells you it took them 47 days from the time that they left Egypt, all right, to get to Mount Sinai. And you can prove it by looking, when you look through this carefully and you see the time, you'll find that's true. Now, verse 1 says, "In the third month," this is the month of Sivan, this is the month of Pentecost that comes, you know, or Shavuot, all right? Now, it says, "When the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt," okay?
Set free.
Okay, the same day, it means the third month, the third day, they came unto the wilderness of Sinai. So they got there on the 47th day, okay? And so then they were told to what? Set themselves apart for 3 days, and God was going to come down and speak, which he did. So we're not going to go through all that because we did that last week, but I want to read verse 16 with you in this chapter. It says, "And it came to pass on the third day." That means the third day after they got to Mount Sinai, which brings you to the 50th day, that there were what? Thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud. So that all the people that was in the camp, they kind of trembled when they heard all that. So
Amen.
this was the 50th day. So God's going to use this for something. Now, this is before the law and all that was put in place, okay? And a lot of things we see, we have to go over a little bit further and we'll find out what God's going to do with that. But now, if we go over here now.
Well, before you go there, right. I want to read one scripture because this scripture is also not exactly the same, but it's in the King, it's in the New Covenant as well, speaking of those who are believers.
Mm-hmm.
Here he was speaking to the Jewish people, but we are grafted in.
That's right.
In verse 5 it says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed."
Mm-hmm.
And we must obey God's
Absolutely.
Voice. As a people, as a family, as a nation.
Mm-hmm.
As a nation. "Indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure." See, God wants treasures.
Sure does.
"Unto me," unto God.
Thank you, Lord.
Above all people, mm-hmm. for all the earth is mine. Everything belongs to the Lord.
Absolutely.
And verse 6 says, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests.
Priest. Whoa.
Says that in the New Testament as well, that we are priests and kings.
Revelation chapter 1.
That's right. And it says, a holy nation. We are to be a holy nation, a
set
holy
apart
set
nation,
apart
right.
people. Mm-hmm. See, we say, well, what nation do you belong to? Well, some people say, well, America. Well, we belong to the nation of
heaven. So
heaven.
That's right.
The nation of
we're
God.
We're seated in heavenly places.
We're seated
right.
in heavenly places
Thank
with
you, Lord
him.
Jesus.
And praise God. So we are to be a holy people, holy nation, a holy people.
Absolutely.
These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
Of Israel.
Amen.
It's wonderful.
Amen. Isn't that? And God hasn't changed. We're still to be
nope.
a holy nation.
That's
a
right.
holy nation. You know, because you know what? God made a contract.
That's right.
What's it called? Like a marriage contract?
Ketubah.
Made a marriage contract, you know, and the people said, we do. I do.
I do.
What do you do when you get married?
Say,
you say, I do. You don't say, I do for a year, or I do for 7 years, or
right.
I do till I get tired of this guy.
Or a
no.
girl, yeah.
You say, I do. It's a contract.
It's a contract.
With a forever. It's a forever contract with right. God when you come to God. Amen. You don't just start, change your mind. You have to stick with it. Stick
right.
with what God's plan is.
In fact, in verse 8 here, it says, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do.
We will do.
And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Okay? So you think about it. They said they were going to do it, but they broke it eventually, didn't they?
They broke the covenant.
Right. So here we are in this chapter. This is establishing this 50th day. Okay? And we know it from this point on, then God began to give them what? The Ten Commandments and the Torah was put in place. And one thing I want to mention, we've talked about this a lot because we honor, at our congregation, we honor the Sabbath as well as the first day of the week.
And we should honor the
That's
Sabbath.
Right. And he gives the Ten Commandments right here in chapter 20,
mm-hmm.
13 through 17, I think. Well, the one right in the middle, the fifth one, is what? Remember the Sabbath, okay? Remember. So that means that they must have understood what the Sabbath was.
Definitely.
Way before he put this in place, because Genesis 1 reveals the 7 days of creation.
Well,
and the 7 days a day of rest. Everything's a seven. The seventh is a rest. The millennial kingdom, the 7,000-year period will be a rest, won't it?
Adam understood the Sabbath.
Sure, I believe so.
He did. And we want to read this because before we go over to before we go someplace else,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this is on that 50th day. Verse 19 says, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long,
well, that's right,
and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. God spoke to Moses, and the people heard. The people heard the sound, and, you know, it was louder and louder. And it even says the mountain quaked and smoke, and you imagine they were afraid. So they decided they didn't want to hear from God anymore. They wanted God to speak to Moses and then mm-hmm. have Moses speak to us.
Amen.
So it was, you know, wasn't as scary for them. But, you know, things are different now because God speaks to us, each of us individual. We don't have to go to, you don't have, people don't have to come to you, Pastor Gene, to hear the word of the Lord.
That's right.
Everyone can hear the word of the Lord. But if we don't seek him, if we don't knock, if we don't pray, then how are we going to hear him? He's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth and come to him and listen to him. You know, sometimes we talk more than we listen. If we would
That's
just
true.
Listen more,
true.
Just give our petition and be thankful and worship the Lord and give him thanksgiving and for the blessings that he has bestowed upon us, even as a nation. And then listen and hear God's voice, you know, then people would be, if people would listen and perhaps mm-hmm. they would start to obey.
That's right. So then once we leave Exodus chapter 19, we're going to go over, and it says, I don't know how long a period of time it was, and then God began to give them, he gave them the Torah and some understanding over there,
mm-hmm.
and then we get into Leviticus and a lot of the commandments are revealed and all that. And then we go to chapter 23 and we're going to see where God established actually 8 appointed times.
The Feast of the Lord.
The Feast of the Lord. And I'm going to read in chapter 23, verse 3. It says this, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, an holy convocation, okay, set apart. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord and all your dwellings. So remember, I've heard people say, well, Sunday's the Sabbath. No, Sunday's not the Sabbath. It's the first day of the week. So we should be honoring that And we don't have to do it legalistically, but we here at Spirit of Prophecies Ministries, we honor both days. No, we honor the Sabbath, Shabbat Shalom, hallelujah. We honor that. And what else will we honor?
Today's the Sabbath.
That's right. So we say Shabbat Shalom to you, and then we also tomorrow we'll honor the Lord's resurrection. We always talk about what happened with him, and he came out of the grave on that day, and so we honor both of them.
And you know, that would be the eighth day.
The eighth day,
and
if there
so,
was such a thing,
so,
yes.
Why would you want to change the Sabbath day to Sunday?
That's right.
Well, that would be changing it to the seventh day.
Mm-hmm.
See, the eighth day represents new beginnings.
New beginnings.
Well, when Jesus came, when Yeshua came out of the grave, he rose again. He started a new,
new beginning.
A new beginning.
New dispensation.
So it was a new beginning
right.
of not having, and what changed? You know, the law didn't change, and the feast didn't change that we're going to talk about here. The feast of the Lord, all mentioned here, all in your book, pictures of the Messiah. What changed? The priesthood changed.
That's right.
No longer you have to go to a priest. No. The Bible says, which I mentioned earlier, that we are priests and kings. And we can go directly to God in prayer in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is our intercessor.
And he's our high priest.
And he's our high priest.
Whoa, hallelujah. Yeah.
And we're priests under him.
That's right.
And so we can go directly to God, to the Father, in the name of Jesus. And he is sitting right there next to the Father. And he intercedes on our behalf. So,
amen.
So why would you want to change Sunday to the seventh day? You know,
That's right. Has
already been taken care of.
That's right.
That priesthood. But it doesn't mean that we still don't honor, because even though this, he said here, remember the Sabbath, we could even say now, even in this day, in this hour, we should remember the Sabbath. God wouldn't say forget the Sabbath just because Yeshua came out of the grave. You know, Yeshua honored the Sabbath day every single day of his life. And aren't we to be like Yeshua?
That's right.
Amen. He wouldn't change it.
That's right.
See, it's people who change things.
That's right.
So we need to return to the ancient paths. We need to get back on track, because many people have gotten off track because of different beliefs. So what we need to do is go back to the Word of God. If he told the people here to remember the Sabbath, and it had been how many thousands of years? 1,500 years or so?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's right.
So even now, today, we should remember the Sabbath.
That's right. So we think about these sevens. You know, there's 7 days in the week. God has a 7,000-year plan to restore what? Mankind in the earth, back the way it was in the Garden of Eden. What else do we have with sevens? I'm thinking about
God completes things with
God
sevens.
God completes with sevens all the time. And so it's amazing when we look at the sevens and how God, he's given us seven appointed, well, really eight appointed times, because with the eighth, as you talked about, the Sabbath is a picture of new beginnings. But there's seven appointed times also that God put in place for Israel. So the sevens are everywhere. I think about, they were supposed to let the land rest every 7 years. We're in a Shemitah
year.
That's
what the Shemitah is about.
That's what the Shemitah is about, right. The land is to rest for a whole year.
And if you don't let the land rest, and that's why they were disobedient, and that's what part of the reason why they were sent dispersed throughout the world. They did not allow the land to rest
for that year.
So even we'd have a blessing if we would. People do let it rest now. Some people do. Some people in America may do that, and I know there's people in Israel that let the land rest. That means you do anything with the land.
That's
you
right.
Just leave it sit there.
Leave it sit.
And
it rests.
It rests. See, the land needs rest.
Amen.
The soil, the land needs rest. So as the land rests, then what? When you plant your crops the next year, you're going to have an abundance. You're not going to have just a few little tomatoes hanging on your bush. You know, you're going to have an abundance.
That's right.
God wants us to have an abundance, not just what's left over. So he said there'll be plenty. If you would just let the land rest.
Rest that seventh year.
There'll be plenty, you know. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
So if you go to Leviticus chapter 26, and we're going to take you over there. But God mentioned over there the blessings and the cursings. And he mentioned it when the cursings mm-hmm. come, if they didn't obey the commandments, he said, I'm going to punish you seven times more. He mentioned it four times. So what had happened with Israel? They did not let the land rest. This Shemitah year we're in right now. They didn't let the land rest. And so what happened?
It dried up.
They didn't honor that for 70 times. That means 490 years they did not honor the land. And so God, he told them what was going to happen. He's going to punish them seven times more. And you go over to Daniel chapter 9, it reveals the 70 weeks prophecy. That's 490 years based on the same terminology and what happened way back. So God's revealing himself in a great way. So we're going to talk about some of this today. But,
and so the land was not fruitful.
That's right.
You know, just even, what, 50 years ago, 70 years, how many years ago, back in...
Well, even 50, 60 years ago.
The land was barren, was unfruitful.
Yeah.
Now look at it. Look what's happened.
That's right. Just this, after they became a nation.
Just look what's happened since then.
It's incredible.
And who was it that went over and then said, what can grow
Mark
here?
Twain, yes.
Mark
this place
Twain.
Is war. There's nothing here. Nothing will ever come of this
I
land.
I wonder what year that was in.
It was in the 1800s, the late 1800s.
Said, well, you know, nothing's going to come of this land.
That's right.
This is dead. It's dead. It's over with. Well, you know, a lot of people think that still have that attitude about Israel today. They think that the church has replaced Israel.
That's right.
The church has not replaced Israel.
That's for sure.
For sure. Just look at Israel. Look at what's coming out of Israel. Look at the crops. Look at the things that they manufacture.
The inventions they have.
The inventions.
It's incredible.
Look at the doctors.
Yeah.
All the things that have come forth out of Israel. And it's prospering.
That's right.
It's prospering.
It's incredible.
And the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that doesn't mean, you know, back then. That means now. Pray for the
that's
peace
right.
of Jerusalem. Because that's where Yeshua is coming back. He's not coming back to the United States and putting his feet on, you know, at New York City or any place else
right.
in this country.
That's right.
He's coming. He's going to place his feet on the Mount of Olives. That's where he's going to return. And so, why are we trying to change what God's word says? We need to stick to the letter of the law.
That's right.
And some people say, well, law is bad. Well, what is law? Law just means Torah, means teaching and instructions of
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah.
So, it doesn't mean slap, slap, slap. If you do this, you're going to get slapped. No, it means the teaching and the instructions of the Lord. So, the law is good.
That's
the
right.
law is the Torah. The law is the word of God.
It's
so that's
truth.
Another mindset that people have had a problem with.
That's right. But we think about Israel, it means we're kind of going on a bunny trail, but that's all right. Talking about Israel, think over. If you read Genesis 15, God made an unconditional promise with Abraham.
Contract.
Contract would never be broken, okay? So it wasn't based on anything they did.
Mm-hmm.
It was his promise. Well, we know they broke the commandments and all that, but if we look at what we have today with Israel. They're in that land because God promised in Genesis chapter 15 that was going to be an everlasting place for them.
Everlasting.
Even though they don't have all the geography that's going to be there at
mm-hmm.
the end. But the key thing, God promised that. Now, the reason they're having all their problems today is because what? They were disobedient. You can read in Deuteronomy, the last two chapters over there, about the blessings and the curses. So they were disobedient. So they were scattered all around the world. And that came to pass. But
mm-hmm.
no matter what their religious attitude is or all, anything over there right now, that land belongs to God and he's given it to the nation of Israel and there'll be a remnant that'll be there at the end. And so God wants us to know that he's not mm-hmm. done with Israel and we do not replace them. All right, we're blessed to be what grafted in to the natural tree. We're the unnatural branch
mm-hmm.
and so we're part of them. And so that's why they have that land.
Amen. And you know, God loves contracts.
Yes, he does.
He makes contracts with his people. And the first contract God ever made was a contract between Adam and Eve.
That's right.
A marriage contract.
Marriage contract.
And so we could talk about that. Our nation is trying to, in the process, because there's people who don't like the Word of God, who want to live in sin, they are trying to break the contract.
And redefine marriage.
And redefine the word marriage.
Right.
Well, you can't, so see, there's been a lot of dictionaries written. That's why we always refer back to the
1828
dictionary. Because you can look up words that were in the 1828 dictionary, and then you go to a modern dictionary, and the word has been changed.
No comparison.
There's no comparison. There's words have been changed. The words have been watered down. New Bibles have been watered down. They want to take out anything that might offend anyone or, you know, turn them away from God or hurt their feelings. Well, our country right now, we just come through the National Day of Prayer. We prayed this Thursday. And one of the things we prayed about was that contract, that Kaduba Pastor Gene talked about. The very first contract that God ever set in place was a marriage contract. And this is the one, the very first one that the people in this country are trying, the law of the nation is wanting to change that and redefine it. Well, that's coming against God's word. And if this goes through, that's what we need to be on our knees praying. We need to be crying out to the Lord. We need to speak out. We need to speak to our senators, our governors, our those in leadership. We need to give them the word of the Lord. Just like Jonathan Cahn. Jonathan Cahn spoke right after those that Supreme Court and all that they met a week ago.
Yeah, they're trying to make the decision by the end of June, yeah.
He spoke at the Capitol building, and he spoke about this. And he said, and I don't remember exactly, but you can listen to it on It's on the internet. You can listen to it. When he spoke there the day after, if that was it, this month, this mm-hmm. month, just a week or so ago, he spoke there and he said it was sin. And at the end of his speech, maybe 15 minutes or so, or 8 minutes, I don't remember. But anyway, it's very powerful word that he brought to our government. So people like Jonathan Cahn, who is a Jew, a spirit-filled Jew,
yeah.
baptized in the Holy Ghost, like on the day of Pentecost, and he's a believer in Yeshua, the Messiah, he spoke there and brought forth a word. I believe he is a prophet, like Jeremiah, who cried out and brought the warning. See, God always has somebody to bring a warning.
That's
and
right.
he's the one who wrote the Shemitah, also the book, The Harbinger. And he's the one that we're going to show this new video today at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to know more about the Shemitah and what's happening, you need to get it or listen to it or go online and listen to it or come today and listen to it. Because our nation is wanting to break the very first contract that God ever set in place.
Okay. You know what I'm thinking about?
Wow.
I'm going to go read the definition of marriage in an 1828 Webster's Dictionary.
That's good.
Now, you know, he spent his whole life
yes.
writing this dictionary for the early colonies and all.
And this dictionary lines up with the Word of God.
Oh,
there's scriptures all through it.
Oh, yeah. So listen to this. This was the definition. If you look in a new Webster's, this no comparison.
No.
Listen to what this says.
And it's going to be changed again if things get worse.
It says this. It's the act of uniting a man. And woman. Okay. For life. Wedlock. The legal union of a man and woman for life. Marriage is a contract, both civil and religious, by which the parties engage to live together in mutual affection and fidelity till death shall separate them. Marriage was instituted by God Himself mm-hmm. for the purpose of preventing the promiscuous intercourse of the sexes.
Wow.
For promoting domestic felicity. And for securing the maintenance and education of children.
Children.
And He gives a scripture here. All right. This is in Hebrews chapter 8.
Marriage is honorable
in all, and the bed undefiled.
Well, that tells it all, doesn't it?
That pretty well tells it, doesn't it? What a good definition of what marriage is.
You know, this dictionary, Pastor Gene likes books. So he's got the big, big book. You know, it's a huge book. Well, I actually have Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary on my computer. And it's free online. You can either buy it and put it on your computer, or you can go online and look for it. Just when you want to look up a word, just the Noah's Webster's 1828 dictionary.
All right, let's get back to Leviticus chapter 20. We went down a bunny trail with you, but those things are important for you to know.
Well, we need truth because the word
sure. The
word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So
Amen.
We need the truth.
We
to have the truth, and that's what this radio program is all about.
Raising
the standard and bringing truth, bringing the true washing of the Word of God, because that is what's able to save our soul.
Sure.
Save our soul.
So we think about these laws are being passed about marriage now. If it becomes a national law, think about it. We're actually shaking our fist in God's face. Well, we don't want to do what you want to do. So we're what?
Mm-hmm.
It's total rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look what happened with Israel when they did. They got into a lot of trouble, didn't they? So anyway,
this is what he said, I think, is sent at the end of it. I think we're sending our nation to hell.
That's right. That's what he said.
We are sending
Jonathan
our nation to hell.
That's
and,
right.
You know, some people don't even believe in hell anymore.
Nope. That's right.
But hell is a real place.
Sure is. And it's for eternity.
For eternity.
So we talked about this in Leviticus chapter 23, about there's actually 8 appointed times. And so the Sabbath is the first one mentioned. Then he goes through all the
number
others.
It's the first one.
The first one, okay. So it's very important we understand that. So we need to honor these things that God has in this book. This book is not changed. It says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing has changed. Right?
And don't we need rest?
Sure.
We need the rest. See,
sure.
You can sleep all night, and you might sleep all night and worry all night. You know, some people do because they wake up, they go to sleep, they wake up, they worry. But God, the rest of God is the Sabbath rest, and it is the rest of our soul.
That's
and
right.
our body.
That's right.
And, but mainly our soul, because God wants our soul to be refreshed and in the things of God, and so that we would put first the kingdom of God in
That's
His
right.
righteousness, like it says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, that we would put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says, and then these other things,
will be added unto us.
Will be added unto us. But if we don't seek him first and his righteousness, what we need to be in right standing with the Lord.
That's right.
And changing this marriage contract meaning is not right.
That's wrong.
Right.
If you go to Israel, now, there's a lot of secular Jews over there, but if you go to Israel, the ones that are really approaching and wanting to serve God, you know, everything's closed on the Sabbath, okay? Mm-hmm. They don't do anything, all right, until the close of the day when the Shabbat's over. But here in America, even on Sunday, the first day of the week, you know, all the stores are open. They're all after the almighty buck. They don't care about anything. Some people have to work on Sundays and all that. So this is where we're at today. We've just kind of drifted away from God.
If we would rest, we would be blessed.
We sure would.
If we think that we have to make things happen, we have to make the almighty buck. But if we would do the rest of the Lord, we would be blessed the rest of the time.
That's right. So
okay.
Anyway.
Praise God.
Anyway, these seven appointed times by God are put in here for our purpose. And we always tell you that these weren't things that God just made up to give Israel something to do. They all did have a historical effect and all that. We know an event that happened. But also it was all prophetic to where we're at today. And so if you go to Leviticus chapter 23, I'm not going to read all this again, but starting in verse 15, it starts to talk about counting of the Omer. Okay, now what were they counting? Well, the spring harvest was the barley. Well, then we have an early wheat, which is in the spring. And so they begin to count the Omer, count the days out to 50 days, because they knew it was going to be about 50 days before the wheat would come to maturity. And so what was the purpose of that? They were going to count the Omer to get enough wheat. Wheat, you know, Omer is a measure of wheat or barley. They had to get enough so they could make these two wave loaves. It's mentioned in Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 17. Okay, so then when they got enough wheat, well, they took the harvest and they made those two loaves. And we've talked about this a lot. We know there's two loaves and they were baked with leaven, which is a picture of there's sin in the camp. We know that, but thank God we have an advocate with the Father. His name is Yeshua. And so they made those two loaves, and they were required what? To weigh them before the Lord. And I believe those two loaves represents the Jewish people first the Jews, all right, and then the Gentiles to be a part of that. And so this is what we're waiting on now in the church. So we see this coming up. You know, we're not going to go out and pull out a bunch of grain, are we, Pastor Donna?
No.
But God did something else. So this is established, and so God always remembers things. And so think about this. 1,500 years approximately from the time that this was put in place, okay, about 1,500 years, we come to Acts chapter 2, and this is when God was fulfilling the prophetic aspects of what happened back here in Leviticus chapter 3 on this day called Pentecost or Shavuot. It was the 50th day. And so it's incredible when we think about what God did. So we remember this. We've talked about this a lot on the program about this time. You know, God spoke to Israel. We just read that over there in Exodus chapter 19 last week. Well, they trembled. They didn't want to hear from God. You know, they were afraid. And so they wanted Moses to do all of it, but they could have heard themselves if they would have just listened, but they didn't want to do that. But anyway, so they kind of walked away from that. Well, so for years then, God had people in place. He had priests, kings, and prophets that spoke on his behalf to tell the people, instead of the average lay person didn't hear the voice of God in that day because they did not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. In other words, they were not born again back in those days. That's why the King James Bible doesn't have the word Holy Ghost in the first covenant, because the Holy Ghost had not been given yet, okay?
That's right.
It hadn't been given yet.
That's right.
And so those people just...
That's a whole
teaching
people
by itself.
That's
that. Right. That's right. That's why it's called the Holy Ghost, because we're hosting God when we come to Jesus and are born again. It's incredible when we think about this. And so... they didn't have what we have today, and so no wonder they failed in so many areas, because they weren't led by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God didn't live in them, okay? Except for the kings, priests, and prophets came and spoke and warned them and told them these things. But today, if we're born again, this is why I understand why we have so many problems in this country. We're born again, the Spirit of God lives in us, and there's also the group that will believe that subsequent to being baptized, subsequent to being born again, you're baptized in the Holy Ghost with a heavenly language that you can speak in. And so God put all this in place so we could, learn how to hear his voice, and he can speak, and we can speak on his behalf. It's incredible when I think about it. So God put this all in place for us. And so no wonder the Israelites failed, because they didn't have that. But Yeshua came, a new dispensation came. So we're going to go over to Acts chapter 2.
glory.
I love this chapter. We wear this chapter out because the church should get a hold of this. And so I wonder, on the day of Pentecost this month, what will they be? They'll talk about these things, but do they really believe it? Will they have a call and say, if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, let's just pray for you. You ask and you shall receive, and ask God to come in with a mighty rushing wind and touch them, and they can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with their heavenly language. And so let's look at this. So we see all this, and so here we go. In Acts chapter 2, glory be to God, in the very first verse, this is very key, it says, and when the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, Pentecost here was those 50 days. So they were waiting for that day, okay, the 50th day. Hallelujah. And so it says right here, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, what it's telling you here was being fully fulfilled. Amen? Fully fulfilled. I think about what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 5, where he says, I have not come to destroy the Torah or the law, but I have come to do what? To fulfill it completely. And so he is the Torah. He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Yeshua, HaMashiach, our Messiah. He is the Word. And so he's going to fulfill everything that's been written about him. We read that last week over in Luke chapter 24, that everything that was written about him in the prophets, the Psalms, and in the Torah will all be fulfilled in his life. And if it couldn't have been done that way, well, he would never be the Messiah. He couldn't be the Messiah because he couldn't qualify. But he's fulfilled all those things. And so he came and died for you and I. The most important event that ever happened in history, that day on Nisan 14, when he died, shed his blood for all mankind. And 3 days later on Nisan 17, he came out of that grave. And hallelujah, because of that, we are free from our sins because we receive Yeshua in our life. And he comes, and the blood that he shed on Calvary is still active today. And it wipes away all of our sins when we walk in that place with the Lord. So a new dispensation did start. That's why he rose on what? On the first day of the week. It was a new beginning. Hallelujah. So this right here in Acts chapter 2 is also going to be what, Pastor Donna? A new beginning.
Amen. All right.
So listen to this now. So here, this is the day it was going to be fulfilled. 1,500 years from the time that he spoke from Exodus chapter 19 over there. Now let's go on. And here's a sudden. I love this. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. They heard it. It blew, I guess, right? And it says, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Here's this filling again. They were filled in all the house where they were sitting. Now, and there appeared unto them, what? Cloven tongues. Cloven means divided tongues, like as a fire.
Fire.
And it set upon each of them. Now, they saw fire on Mount Sinai 1,500 years before the Israelites did. But now, the fire wasn't going to be on a mountain. The fire was going to rest on each and every one of those to show, as John the Baptist said, he says, I'm not worthy to loose the latchet of this man called Yeshua, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
And the fire is within.
That's
people
right.
Just think of an outward appearance. The fire has got to be within us. In us.
That's right.
In our belly. Mm-hmm. See, out of our belly flows the river of life. Out of our belly comes the prayer language that we have.
That's right.
This baptism that we have. But there's an outward manifestation of the power that God's within, because we have been, like you said, we've been given the Holy Ghost.
That's
Each
right.
one of us has been given the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said that they had to wait and tarry there in Jerusalem.
That's right.
And they were in that upper room all together, men and women, about 120 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they received this power. They didn't receive it for one day, for 1 hour. No, they received it for the rest of their life. And we have also received this power. It has been given to all who believe
That's
in
right.
the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a power. It's the infilling. It's the filling of the Holy Ghost that comes up. Comes within us, comes in us, and is upon us, and it's what's helping you to minister right now, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
To teach the Word of God, to pray for people, to speak healing words over people, like this healing evangelist we're going to have coming on the 24th.
It opens the door to the supernatural.
Opens the door to the supernatural.
So we think about this. This was being fulfilled. Now remember, we mentioned last week over in Exodus chapter 19. The Jewish tradition, they understand this, that there was 70 known languages at the time that God spoke from Mount Sinai. And so his voice reverberated through all those nations, and they had an opportunity in their own language, because he spoke to all of them, to receive what he wanted. Well, the only group that did was what? Was Israel. And somebody said, well, how do you know that? Well, if you look at the Jewish understanding, what they do in Jesus' day, at the Feast of Tabernacles, they sacrificed 70 bulls at that time during those days of the Days of Tabernacles to what? To show the Gentile nations that's going to come into the kingdom of God. And so that's proof of it. Well, that was a tradition they knew, and they understand that. And so he spoke. Well, let's look at Acts now. Here we go 1,500 years in the future. What did God do with all this? I want to understand why people lay this down and say, well, it's not for today. Let's go on now. And I want to show you something here in chapter 2. You that's been with us for a long time, we've talked about this, but see, it needs to be something we speak over and over again to put it in our heart. Do you ever get tired of hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ and all what he did? No, I never get tired of hearing. I love to hear about it. So we need to have this ingrained into our hearts. Verse 4 says this, and they were all, and it didn't say some, it says, and they were all. There was about 120 in that upper room, were all filled, what? With the Holy Ghost. So they're gonna host the Spirit of God. They got born again, we know that, but something else is gonna happen. And began to speak with other what? Other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Ghost came now. So not only do we host God, but there's an enablement that we get if we receive also the baptism of the Holy Ghost that comes right after salvation. It's incredible. Now let's go on. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, that means they were religious, out of every nation under heaven. All the males, the Jewish males, had to come from all of where they were to travel to Jerusalem for this particular day. Three appointed times they had to be there. This is one of them. Some of them might have traveled 2 or 3 months to get there. So the Jerusalem must have been packed. Now, verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were kind of troubled because that every man heard them speak in his own language. These men that came from Mesopotamia or out near Babylon and all that, the Jews that came, they heard the Jewish people in Jerusalem speaking in their language from where they live. It's incredible, their language. So these are languages here right now that he's talking about. Now, verse 7, and they were all, they were all amazed and marveled. It is a marvel. Saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? So they were all right there in that area.
Glory.
Hallelujah. And think about it. And so they were speaking these other languages. Now, verse 8, and it says, and how hear we, every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. So now these are known languages, okay?
Thank you, Lord.
Now, he's going to give you a splattering. I guess I shouldn't call it a splattering, but it's an example of all the nations that came to Jerusalem. We have the Parthians. It says the Medes. That's out where Iran is today. And the Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, in Pontus, and in Asia. Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes are also. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in other tongues the wonderful works of God. So here's a good quantity of nations that heard the Jews in, the apostles and all, that were in Jerusalem. They heard these men speaking in their languages that they wouldn't know from some other part of the world. And it says there in verse 12, and they were all amazed.
Amen.
Not some, they were all amazed and were in doubt. Don't we have a lot of people doubting this gift today?
They doubt the Holy Ghost.
Saying one to another, what meaneth this?
They're mocking.
Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Well, we got people today trying to, I've had people tell me.
Let me finish
what I'm saying. I've had a lot of people telling me here in my life, in my almost 33 years walking with the Lord, that that was what I've got to the devil.
Yes, and I want to read what Peter says, Pastor Gene. Verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, he was bold, you know that.
That's right.
He lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. He's declaring this. He's going to say, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. That was 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that.
That's what we need.
This is that
which was spoken by the prophet Joel, right?
Which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Hundreds of years before.
And it shall come to pass in the last days, and we are really now really in the last of the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit, see now this is a capital S, his spirit.
That's right.
Unto all flesh, and your sons.
Upon all flesh.
Upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, or servants, and on my handmaidens, or handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven. And goes on. So It's a power. It's the power gift, because it says back over here in chapter 1, it says, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Upon you.
So the after is you get born again, right?
And then the after
is you receive the power. See, these disciples were already born again.
That's right.
But they hadn't been received the power gift yet.
That's right.
So it's a power. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That means everywhere.
That's right.
Glory to God.
This is why about eight of those apostles were going to go back to fishing. They didn't understand until the power came. See, we need the power, don't we?
When the power came, they knew.
And they
all died. Except for John, they all died terrible deaths.
That's right.
But they stood and they never denied the Lord, and they walked in the power of God. Look what happened to Peter. Peter walked by people and people would be healed.
That's right. So I'm going to go down to verse 20 here, because we've talking about the blood moons, the solar eclipses, and the lunar eclipses. Look at this now in verse 20.
Blood.
The sun shall be turned into darkness. What is that? That's a solar eclipse. And the moon into blood. What's that? That's a lunar eclipse. Before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Now, we got another blood moon coming up on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles this fall, which will be the fourth one over this two-year period. And there's also going to be what? We've already had one solar eclipse. There's going to be another. God's speaking to us from heaven, and he's wanting us to know this, and so we need to be aware. There's going to be a remnant that'll be there, and God wants us to know that. And he's promised this way back. Joel spoke this way before Peter did. Peter just confirmed it here in Acts chapter 2 about the men servants and the handmaids and all that. They were going to prophesy and all that in that day. Well, it's still going on today. It hasn't changed, but the church tells you it stopped. Well, when did it stop? It hasn't stopped. And so I get worked up over this, you know. So let's go on now. We're still in Acts chapter 2. Now, let's where I want to go here. Yeah, look at 32 of chapter 2. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So this was the promise from the Father and from the Lord. Isn't that incredible? And here it tells you right here, he's exalted on the right hand of God. So everything he said about himself has come true at this time. Now the verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, listen to that, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, Yeshua, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Not only is he God, okay, all right, but he's also the anointed Messiah. That's what this is. Both Lord, he's God, and he's the anointed Messiah. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They were touched in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So there's hundreds of people there. Might have been thousands of people. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is not being born again. This is the gift. It's got a definite article. The gift is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that Peter and these men just received. A little bit before this, we read this a little bit ago, okay? He says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's Don and I and all you that's born again and receive the Holy Ghost with power. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. See, we don't want the apostles' doctrine today. We think that there's no apostles today. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done, what? By the apostles. So this verse 38 is important. This is not about being born again. He's telling them, first you repent and get baptized, okay? You repent, first of all, and
that means
you're in the kingdom of God. So then what's this thing? The subsequent thing to it is what? You shall receive what? The gift, not a gift, but the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you can read in Acts, wherever they came and preached and people received Jesus, what happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost, begin to speak with other tongues, and many times what? They just begin to prophesy, didn't they? Just like Joel said, just like Peter said. It's for today. It has not been done away. It's the power that we need in the church today. And without this, we can't accomplish much. And we can see why the church is floundering, because so much of the church doesn't believe this is for today. I have it. I'm so happy I have it. It just builds you up. You know who you are. And that's what Paul said, building up your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. Well, how do you pray in the Spirit? Out of your mind? No. Sokolobas satan. Boki sambaloku sandaba. It comes out of your belly, that river that John talked about over in John chapter 7 when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not going to be a trickle. It's not going to be a well. It's going to be a river that's going to flow out. And it's going to bring stirring. And things will change. And this is the power that the early church needed, so we need as well, to go out and preach and declare the word of God and not be ashamed. Stand up and declare the glory of Jesus Christ. Never back down, because it's all about Him. It's not about us. I'm getting excited here, Pastor. About this.
I can tell.
This is incredible.
Like a race car going.
This is
You're
something.
You're not running on three cylinders.
No, I'm running all five or six.
And we have to have the, like you mentioned, the apostle. We have to have the apostle, the prophet, the teacher,
and the evangelist,
and the pastor
that's
teacher,
right.
And they're all to build up the church, to build up the church of God. You know, the apostle and prophet are under the carpet, they're on the foundation. You know, they're not to be lifted up. They're to build up the church, and they're built on what? Jesus Christ, the chief
cornerstone. He's the foundation. Yes.
He is the foundation.
Hallelujah.
But we do need all of these gifts, because Jesus said He gave gifts to men. And so
he doesn't take them back.
He doesn't take them back. And so there are still apostles in this day, and
that's
prophets,
right.
and many, 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 because we've all been given gifts. Everyone has been given a gift. And I want to mention too, we have a gift of healing evangelist coming to the church on the 24th, Sunday the 24th. And also his wife moves into the prophetic. So that's a double gift, amen. The evangelist, the healing ministry, and so we all need healing. We need healing, spirit, soul, and body. And you know, the Bible says to be led by the Spirit. If we're led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that's within us, you know, we'll follow the Lord. We'll obey.
That's right.
We'll be obedient. We'll be like they said I'll do, but they didn't do back there. Didn't we read was it Leviticus or Exodus? I don't remember what it was, but the marriage contract, they said,
right.
I'll do.
That's
I
an Exodus, was in Exodus 19.
They say we will do.
Yeah.
But you know, you can't do it in your own power.
Nope.
You got to have the power of the
Holy Ghost.
When you have the power of the Holy Ghost, then you can say, Lord, should I do this or should I not do this? The Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth.
That's right.
He will tell us, and He will lead us into all truth. Then we have to make a choice. Am I going to do what my flesh wants me to do, or am I going to do what God says?
That's right.
So when you do what God says, then you always have the blessing.
Hallelujah.
Well, so God never curses people. People put curses on themselves. Because
they disobey. That's right.
They choose. They make a choice.
That's right.
See, God gives us a free choice. He doesn't make anyone come to Christ.
No. Nope.
He wants us to come to Christ because we love God, and we want to, that's what we were put here to worship.
Right.
God. Worship God. That's what the name of the church is. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is
the spirit of prophecy. That's right.
Glory to God.
I'd like to read something out of Romans chapter 12 here talking about this. Paul wrote this. Listen to this now. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man, what? The measure of faith. Now listen to this. For as we have many members in one body, we do, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one to another. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to what? The proportion of faith. So he's telling us we can prophesy right here. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth in exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Isn't that wonderful? He goes through all that. He talks about, bless them that goes on. He goes down, bless them which persecute you, and bless and curse not. Amen. So this is it. So we've all been given a measure of faith, and so God wants you to use it for His glory. So, you know, like Donna just mentioned, God's not going to make you come to Him. And He's not going to make you walk into the belief of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, when you get born again, He'll take you right down to the river's edge, and then He'll draw you, but then you have to make that step. You have to say yes, like Israel did over there in Exodus chapter 19. He said, we'll do it. Well, they did it for a while, then they failed. But when we come, we got to make it a permanent thing. We're going to serve Him for the rest of our lives. We are going to be committed to Him. We're going to declare that our lives are committed to Him from that day forward. That's what we have to do. It's like we're making a marriage contract, I should say. That's never been broken.
Yeah.
And so that's what God wants. The same thing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, the majority of people don't have it because they're afraid of it. God, the Holy Ghost is not going to hurt you. Or they've been taught that it's not for today. And so I just challenge you. Ask, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. When I got it, I asked and I received finally. I didn't understand it for a while, but then when it came, I understood it. Now, I can't tell you how it happened. Did it come from straight up or east or west or north? I don't know. All I know is I had it and I felt this unction down in my belly. And if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says you have an unction. An unction to function. That means you can function for the Lord, and you can speak on His behalf, and you can pray for people the right way, and all these things. That's what God wants. What's prophecy for? To exhort, encourage, and comfort people. So we can pray in the Spirit, get a word for somebody in the congregation or at home or with a friend, whatever. And then just declare, say what you heard God say to you, and tell the people that, and they're going to be blessed. And so Acts chapter 2 is all about what? God now does not speak from heaven like He did in Exodus chapter 19, but now we're filled with the Holy Ghost, and guess what? We have the privilege and the honor, the privilege and the honor to speak on His behalf. Isn't that incredible that he trusts us with that? He gives us the privilege to do that, and He never wants it abused or anything like that whatsoever. It's not to tear down or rip apart or take up offerings the wrong way. No, it's for His glory and His honor to touch God's people, that they'll be stirred, activated, and imparted, and be brought to a new place. Well, hallelujah. We're running out of time, Pastor Donna.
Amen.
This goes by so fast. We got about a minute and a half here. And so we want to remind you that tomorrow, I'm thinking about last week, not tomorrow, but today at 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
We're going to show this video about some unlocked things in the Shemitah. And so, Donna, you close with the words
praise
you always share.
I'll tell you.
And we'll be ready to
He's
go.
He's running on full gear.
That's
well,
right.
Praise the Lord. Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Also, we're on the internet, WCNO.com. You can go back and listen to us again if you'd like to listen to this over again. We have services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We will have a special celebration for Prophet Gary Brooks, who went home to be with the Lord. And we will have on the 17th and Sunday the 24th, we will have a healing evangelist that will be on Pentecost.
Whoa.
Wow, that's going to be a shout in
time. That'll be a shout in time.
We'll have the fire of God. So he will bob. We'll have a minister be there for healing, and also who knows what else. We never know what's going to happen at Spirit of Prophecy Ministry. So come and visit us sometime. Our phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And we say Shabbat, Shalom, Sabbath, peace,
and rest. If you know somebody that's sick, needs the prayer, have them come to the meeting.
Amen.
So as we close this every week, I tell you, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say? Shabbat Shalom.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.